Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Kerry Peck joins us now. He's a regular guest on WGN. He is the elder law attorney we reach out to for all kinds of questions at Peck Ritchie Law. Hey, Kerry, it's John Williams. Welcome back. How are you?
Good, John. How are you today? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to hear you. I've got a few questions. Anything you want to make sure we particularly cover before we get rolling, Kerry?
There is one very important item, John. I'm very pleased to report to you that the Illinois Supreme Court, in a first-of-its-kind historic decision, has created the Illinois Supreme Court Commission on Elder Law, and I'm honored to have been appointed by the Illinois Supreme Court to chair this commission, and we have approximately 20 individuals. I asked the Supreme Court to consider making this a multidisciplinary commission, which includes doctors, so we get medical perspective on issues affecting older adults, particularly financial exploitation issues. We're going to look at a lot of problems that older adults face here in the state of Illinois and in the judicial system. And we've put together a collection of terrific top lawyers and judges. And as I said, doctors in the community from Northwestern, from the North Shore healthcare system. And we're going to, you know, make some strong recommendations to the Supreme Court relative to the issues perhaps of guardianship. You'll recall from time to time we've talked about the guardianship that was out in California for Britney Spears. We're going to talk about what rules apply to lawyers that represent cognitively impaired clients that, you know, may suffer from Alzheimer's disease or a stroke and things of that nature. And we're going to make recommendations as to the court-appointed, what's called guardian ad litem, that's appointed as the eyes and ears of the judge to go out and meet with the alleged disabled person that's the subject of a guardianship and standardize their qualifications and credentials for that appointment from, you know, from the north part of the state all the way down to the south part of the state. So I'm very, very excited. I'm thrilled that the Supreme Court has taken this step. We've never had an elder law commission here in the state of Illinois, and I'm just humbled and honored and privileged to be appointed by the court as chair of this new important commission here in the state of Illinois.
What's the biggest concern you think we should pay attention to or you guys are going to address?
I think that the biggest concern is we've been charged by the Supreme Court to gather information, and I intend to literally go out and hold hearings in various parts of the state to gather information from seniors and from their related, you know, stakeholders and agencies and try and see if we can come up with some public education programs and design some systems to prevent seniors from being defrauded. Seniors are being defrauded every single day of the week. They're defrauded by, unfortunately, family members, caregivers, strangers on the internet, on the telephone, and in person. And it's an epidemic. Financial exploitation of older adults is a horrific epidemic. And the Illinois Supreme Court has charged us with making recommendations in an effort to bring that to a halt and certainly use our best efforts to slow it down. We have people involved.
I would think you would be reporting to the legislature. What does the Supreme Court have to do with that?
Well, the Supreme Court is able to make recommendations regarding, you know, the implementation of some safeguards in guardianship cases and things like that. But perhaps you're right. Perhaps the legislature will be involved in receiving recommendations from this commission as well.
You know, last time, well, congrats, and I'm glad to hear that. I think Illinois has actually been on the vanguard of this sort of thing, in part because of some of your stewardship. But the last time we visited, Kerry, we were talking about if a couple gets divorced, mom and dad get divorced, and then one of them dies, the money doesn't go to the divorced spouse if they remarry. It goes to the new wife, right?
Yes.
And I think that surprised some of our listeners. And so if you are the children, if, say, that's your mom or dad, and one of them has passed, and the one that remained got married, the money then funnels, the estate would funnel to the new family, not the original family. Is that right?
Well, with the caveat that you're assuming, for purposes of our discussion, there is no estate plan, okay? So if there's no estate plan, then, and our hypothetical is, let's assume mom has remarried another man.
Yeah, right.
And she dies without a will, then what's going to happen is half of her money is going to go to her husband, and half of her money is going to go to the children by the prior marriage. So I think what surprised your listeners was any money went to the second spouse.
And I suppose the second spouse must feel a certain measure of entitlement. I mean, it gets complicated. They married this person, too. They're a lawfully wedded spouse as well, right?
They certainly are. They certainly are. And what we're seeing, John, is a lot of second marriages in which, people are specifically attempting to avoid that problem. And they're also specifically attempting to avoid to spend their inheritance, their money, on their second or third spouse's medical care. Because with the cost of medical care today, particularly going into, a nursing home, that, second spouse doesn't want to lose all of their money to use it on the second spouse's medical care, and they want it to go exclusively to the children from the first marriage.
Well, I wonder how often people, when they get divorced and remarried, change their estate plans then, circumvent this or plan for this. I want this to go there and this to go there and nothing to go there and everything to go there.
It's often overlooked. It's often overlooked. Yeah. Now, the divorce will eliminate the divorced spouse from inheriting, but it certainly doesn't provide for any provisions, in the next marriage.
Yeah. Stay right there, Carrie. Maybe you've got a question for Carrie Peck as well. 312-981-7200. It gets complicated. What's the situation with your family? You want some advice? Carrie can help, or an interpretation. Carrie knows what to do. We're talking to Carrie Peck, the elder law attorney. And as always, Carrie, folks have questions for you. Will you take a few with us?
Absolutely, John.
Let's start with, I guess, Brian has been waiting the longest. You're on WGN. Hi, Brian. What can we do for you?
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for the show. It's a great chance to hear important information.
You bet.
I've got a question for your guest. In Illinois, is there a certain standard for capacity required before an elderly family member diagnosed with dementia would be allowed to validly sign a will?
So it's a great question, Brian. The answer is yes. The term is testamentary capacity. And so the person diagnosed with dementia or an individual that doesn't have dementia must have what we call testamentary capacity. And what that means is that individual must be able to tell you who their family is. They must be able to tell you what their assets are. They must have the mental capacity to form a plan in their mind, and they must know that what they're signing is a will. So those four elements comprise the testamentary capacity definition, and that's virtually from the jury instructions that if you had a trial on someone's capacity to sign, that would be posed to the jury. Did the demented person have the capacity to do the following?
Is that close to home for you, Brian?
Yeah, I think it's very close to home, and I really appreciate the background.
Okay, good luck to you on that. We'll go from you then to Tammy. You're on WGN. Tammy, how can we help you? You're on the air.
Hi. Mine falls in the same category. My father and his wife, as a stepmother, had wills for over 20 years since they were 60. And, of course, he died first and left his money to her so to take care of her because she's had dementia diagnosed by a doctor for 10 years. But her children took her to a lawyer and got a trust made where they're all the beneficiaries and we are no longer in. What are our rights? Can they...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Carrie. Go ahead.
So the question, Tammy, is, you know, under the stepmom's will, were you due to inherit? You know, you may have heard John at the outset of our discussion, a lot of second marriages don't provide for that. If you were provided in the stepmom's will, then you have the right to file a will contest to overturn that will. And so,
she has a trust now, and they did it so we couldn't contest it.
But do you think you can contest
a trust?
Do you think that she was incapable of making an independent decision when she made that trust, Tammy?
I think that it took them over a year working on her when she went to live with them. I don't know if she can make a good decision because of her dementia.
Okay.
So John, typically what we would do is we would subpoena the stepmother's medical records and have an expert review to determine in his or her opinion if the stepmom had the capacity to do these documents. We file these kind of cases to overturn documents and defend documents every day of the week. So this is a ripe area for litigation. And Tammy, you know, you have rights here. You should make sure that you protect them and assert them by hiring a lawyer.
Okay. I'm out of time. Tammy, good luck to you on that. Carrie Peck, by the way, I'll give you his phone number. It's 312-201-0900. And that's Carrie Peck, the elder law attorney who is chairing a commission that the state of Illinois has reporting to the Supreme Court about the rights for elder folks and for their kids. Okay, Carrie, good luck to you. Good luck
Thanks,
to Tammy,
Jeff.
And
Take
let's
care.
Visit again. My goodness. Every week we do that. We get stories like that. I'm sorry to hear it.